Today, on You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein, I am reviewing the new film Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3. You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Real quick note before I continue this video. I recorded this late at night, right after I saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. It was late at night, and I'm pretty sure that I said Chris Pine instead of Chris Pratt through the whole video. But I wasn't going to re-record this whole podcast and video because I said the wrong name and I didn't remember until the next morning. So I did say the wrong name. Yes. Every time I say Chris Pine, just think Chris Pratt. And it's not, it was late. Okay. I know they're very different people. I never mix them up. I can tell the difference between two rich white celebrity actors. I can just Chris Pratt. So I mix it up. I know better. And I apologize to Chris Pratt and Chris Pine. More so to Chris Pine. But anyway, here I go. Here's my review starting now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Welcome. Today, I am reviewing the new movie, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. The new James Gunn film, the latest Marvel entry into the world. And going into this, I wasn't sure. I've liked the Guardians. They weren't my favorite of there. I really liked Guardians 1. Guardians 2, I thought was okay, but I did not get the same feeling that everyone else did from it. So going into this, I wasn't sure what to expect. I had heard some buzzing that it was good. I missed the initial press screening, so I had to go to an advanced screening, which is with public. So I managed to avoid everything about it. And I got to tell you, just straight off the bat, I think this is the best Marvel film since Endgame. And people know I've liked most of the movies since then. I've enjoyed it to some degree. Even Spider-Man in particular, I thought was really, really good. But this one, this film, hit a level that the rest just have been missing so far. And I'll get that into a little bit. Let me run down real quick what the story is, the plot, the facts, the figures for everything. Of course, to start off with, it's a PG-13 film, which, by the way, that is, I would stick to 13. There's a couple scenes in there that are a little, my little one, my 7-year-old wants to start seeing Marvel films. And I was like, well, you're going to wait on this one. That's a little nasty. Running time of 2 hours and 29 minutes, which flies by. It is a longer film though. I was actually surprised that much time had gone by. Like, I think during it, I got a sense. I was like, I think this is a long film probably. Right. But it flew by. Of course, again, directed, all three installments were directed by James Gunn, and this was written by him as well. And trying to look at those of you looking on the video, see if you've seen the others. I got some new, these are my backup glasses because my regular ones got broken. So I have to look weird at this. Of course, it stars Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Karen Gillan, Palm Clementif, Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper. Those two always, that trips me out that those characters are them. Sean Gunn, Chukwudi Iwuji as the villain. Great villain. Fantastic villain in this. Will Poulter, Elizabeth Debicki, Maria Bakalova and Sylvester Stallone. And I got to say, one thing I really liked about Stephen, I mean, it's a small role in it. I my understanding is he was actually in a larger role in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 that they cut out. And not a larger, but it appeared there before. So this time he did not get cut. And it's kind of weird watching a film and seeing Sylvester Stallone's name like way down low, right? Like not in the top 10. That's a trip. But kind of enjoy it. I kind of like that. Basically, the story is kind of simple. It opens up at their base, which if you saw the Christmas special they did on Disney Plus, and if you haven't, you should go see that. It doesn't quite. There is one important piece of information from that special that opens that becomes important pretty quick in this. So if you missed it, you're gonna miss that. And the Guardians are attacked, mainly Rocket. Rocket, it seems to have a direct attack. While Quill is mourning over the sort of loss of Gamora, she's not dead, she's still around, but he lost his love. And he's down drinking, and there's an attack. Rocket is hurt. And the movie is about getting their friend fixed, helping him. So they're going to the place that, you know, that helped get Rocket how he is, to get info to help him. And during this, we see it's like flashbacks, and we get to see Rocket's origin. And I know that's giving away more than I normally do, but it has to for the story. You got to know this. And it's not, those aren't big spoilers. I've left out a lot. Trust me. Here's the thing. It's just such a good story. They took a simple story. Let's save our friend, and spent 2.5 hours on that. Yeah. A bunch of other things happening, but that's the core of the story. Find a simple story and tell it really well. That's a lesson I was given a long time ago. And it's right. They just did it so well. It has such heart. You're drawn into the characters. Now, this is where I'm unsure of. I've watched all the films, and they, of course, appear in more than just the Guardians of the Galaxy films. So I have intimate knowledge, not intimate. I mean, I haven't done anything crazy, but I know these characters really well. I do think the story is so well written that you would at least get the gist and you understand the relationships, and the things you see in that are just so moving that I don't think you have to know the entire history. You might be a little confused, but they kind of explained it a little between Gamora and Quill. But I don't think that's necessary. And I think that helps make it a great film. The core of the story doesn't involve the other movies. And what they've achieved that the other movies have been lacking is making it relatable. I think everyone can relate to the idea of having a friend in need and who needs to get fixed. And that it does, and that can happen in a spaceship. It can happen down here on Earth, just with another friend here, right? That's not a raccoon. It could happen to your raccoon friends, but I'm going out on a limb that say you don't have one. But and that's the wonderful thing. When you take sci-fi fantasy and have a story that we can connect with, that's a little softer. And they did that. And a lot of the Marvel movies recently have been, whether they're going to other galaxies or dimensions, or they're talking about gods and then these big things in creation, and it's big, and they're big ideas, which are cool philosophy and fun, but they don't draw you in. They don't suck you in. It doesn't feel personal. A lot of the movies recently have not felt personal, and this one does. And they find brilliant ways of getting you to connect with a raccoon and some other critters. And I didn't think Marvel or anyone else could get me to cry about a raccoon relationship, but they did it. And that's amazing. Cause I've talked before about, I do not have the animation sensitivity that a lot of people have. I've definitely been moved by films like Up and some other recent ones that I've seen, but I don't get sucked in to say like, this is my favorite Batman or this is my whatever. Cause I'm like, I'm just animation takes a lot to draw me in. And even the CGI, I mean, they've done amazing jobs with these, right? That they seem so real, but you know, it's a raccoon. So how could I really feel anything? And I did. They just sucked me in with this, just like as if it was a person. The film's so good. Yeah, and character development's there. You see them grow. This has been billed as the final Guardians of the Galaxy story, and I was wondering how they would do it. And while I won't discuss how they do it exactly, I do feel like they give a good cap to the stories of the people of what they've been going through. Maybe not a complete ending. You know, there's more to their life and more to things they're going to do. We're not done completely with all of these characters, right? But they, from the first Guardians of the Galaxy to here, it all, everything makes sense. And you see the journey and that it's moving. It's incredibly moving to when you see the journey and recognize it, and you're like, okay, you got me. You got me, James Gunn. And there's humor in it, just like all the other Marvel movies. However, I feel like this one, what it achieves is it doesn't break. The serious moments aren't just broken with a laugh every single time. I'm sure there's a couple in there, but there are none that stand out that I get in that. Oh, come on. Can you just take it seriously? The Joss Whedon thing, which was funny and good 10, 12 years ago, but got kind of tired. He lets the serious moments sit with you and makes the funny moments funny. I think this villain in this movie is the scariest villain since Thanos. This was cray cray and believably cray cray, right? Very scary. And it's a little disappointing that this isn't the main villain for the next phase. I don't think. Maybe, you know, because you don't know what's going to happen in a Marvel movie, right? Oh, what's going to happen? We don't know. I hope we get this level with the main new, you know, time villain, whatever he is, dimensional shifting, whatever. Excellent. He was terrifying, a great antagonist for them, motivated. You get why he's doing it, though you disagree. Fabulous. Heads to toe, outstanding movie. I don't know what else to say besides that. Just, it's, yeah. My love it, like it, or lose it? Yeah, obviously, it's a love it. We're there. The best film. Go, you know, Chris Pine. Got mixed feelings about him as an individual, right? And as an actor. He does a fine job in this. He's fine. And he's fine. He does fine. Zoe Saldana, Danya, wonderful, always. All the Nebula, she gets so good. She's so good, especially in all that makeup. And Dave Bautista, I think one of my favorite actors now. I gotta say that. He's not, you know, I haven't seen him do Hamlet, but I would. I would go, you say put Dave Bautista in, I'm going to go. He's got me. He got me in this one too. Oh my gosh. He's such a talented actor. I mean, and that's what it is. Talented actors, great, great story, good character building, and it's, we're off to the races. For me, those are the makings of a great film. I don't even need, I just need the story really to be the strongest it possibly can be. And I think they did that. I have one minor gripe in it. I'm not going to talk about it in the podcast. I will talk about it if we do this as film club, where we actually have discussions about the film. I will talk about that little minor gripe because it would be a spoiler on it. But it's really minor. It is. Otherwise, it's a near perfect film for me. It is. And I think maybe I have a chance that I'm going to be in the minority here. I don't know. I don't know what other critics are going to say, but me, it eased the fatigue. I think I was feeling a little Marvel fatigue, and this re-energized me and made me go, bring me more of this, and I'm here for you. So it makes me terribly sad knowing that James Gunn is going to play in the DC world, and so we're probably not going to see him again or for a long time. It's heartbreaking when you look at what he's done, right? He's done so much. He did such a good job in this. Every little moment in the film, it's got so many memorable moments in it. I'm going to rewatch this. I will absolutely rewatch this again. I can't, I kind of can't wait. I was like, can I go watch this movie again? If it wasn't so late on Facebook and I didn't have to get in here to record, I would be on Facebook right now telling everyone to go watch it. But I know I'm going to be dropping this review right in the morning. So no need to, right? Wait till people wake up to good news that I give GOG Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 a love it. 5 stars, or whatever you're at, whatever the scale is, it maxes it out. Best Marvel film since Endgame. And that's it. So that's my review, folks. Thank you so much. I will do a more, maybe more, a little detailed, extensive written review that you can see on the website, yourwatchingamovie.com. And of course, go to my, whether you're listening to this as a podcast or the video, please hit that subscribe button so you can be notified as soon as a new review or film discussion drops. And of course, I've got another podcast you can check out, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, where I educate and empower home buyers all over the nation. So if you're thinking about buying a home or know somebody who is, direct them to that podcast, available anywhere you find podcasts or at yourbuyingahome.com. But meanwhile, thank you again for tuning in, and thank you for watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein. In the theaters you find this, so go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless, love it like it or we lose it, can't find it, and we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema, it's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff for movies, yeah, I've been above, whether big or they small, no, for me don't make a difference, love them. You're all watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein. In the theaters you find this, so go on and press play and rewind this. This speech it is timeless, love it like it or we lose it, can't find it, and we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it didn't hit, no, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint, so come on and let's do this, leave pain behind us and relax your mind, come watch a movie with Silas. Yeah.